I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
So yesterday, flying home, I had a lot of time to think about what had transpired last week. And to be honest, I think it's going to take a few days to digest it, and probably longer to even kind of refine my thoughts. But I thought it would be appropriate to have General Furness on, Major General David J. Furness, the commanding officer of the 2nd Marine Division, who extended the invitation to come out to Camp Lejeune and get his thoughts on what he saw and what the initial feedback is. And I think it's important that people listening hear him as well, because they've heard us talk about this concept on the program for a long time. So he joins us right now. Good morning, General. How are you doing?
Good. Very good. It was a good week last week.
Yeah, I'm still not over it. For a lot of different reasons. There's some things in life that I describe as good on top of good on top of good on top of good, and I would apply that goofy term to last week. I mean, it's almost like it keeps multiplying and coming at you, and so it was from my perspective, it was great. But first of all, talk about, we came back to your change of command. We had a conversation, just a casual conversation, about, hey, how's the show going? You know, what's going on? And I started talking about, you know, I was working on this thing called post-traumatic winning. And I mean, we are old friends. We served together 4 times, in combat 3. But we've done a lot of things together in life, to include creative academic stuff, as well as things, you know, things in combat. And so we've always been good friends and bounced things off each other, and we both certainly enjoy the intellectual part of that. And so you heard it, and then as you got into your job, talk to us about the requirement for it and what went on in your head.
Well, you know, like I said, I assumed command or joined the division the first week of August 2018. Within, I'd say, 2 months, we probably had 4 to 5 suicides. We probably had, you know, 20 or 30 ideations and a couple of attempts. And so, by the way, it gets your attention because those things all come to your level. And you are trying to find out, okay, what's the causal factor? What are we doing about the problem? And, you know, I was very unsatisfied with the feedback or the responses to my questions. So, you know, the Marine Corps circa 2019 has more programs and has devoted more resources to this problem than ever before in its history. So the Marine Corps cares about the Marines that make up the Corps. Senior leadership discusses this issue an awful lot. We have put resources, created programs in order to try to get at the heart of the problem. So I looked at all that and said, not sure what we're doing currently is working. Don't know why it's not working, but the results are unsatisfying. And so you can do a couple things. You can say, we're going to try to do what we have been doing harder and hope for better results, or do exactly what we're doing, hope for better results, or we can try to take a dramatically different approach and add it to the existing processes and see if that that works. So I immediately thought of you because of our conversations, and both at the change of command and subsequently, as you know, we stay in contact with one another. And so I basically said, hey, I need some help, buddy, and I think this, what you're doing or what you're working on, is the medicine that, that the division needs. It's it will be different. It'll be something unique that they haven't heard. And what I liked most about it was it put the power back in the hands of the junior Marines, who are amazing individuals, who make up amazing teams, and then, you know, the teams and the individuals together can help get at the root of this problem. So, I asked you if you'd help, and you certainly, you know, you did.
Let's talk about, kind of the week. I never seen anything like this, and I did not expect it. You introduced every session, whether they were within the division, whether they were with spouses, whether they were when we went outside the division to CLB 24, who a great friend and comrade of both of ours, Lieutenant Colonel Joe Garreau commands, and went over there Wednesday night. And you sat through those things, and you made comments at the end. Talk to me about that decision. Generals tend to be busy officers. I don't know if you know that. but they are. I've seen them. They are. You made that decision with your time. Why?
Well, I mean, the one thing that, well, first of all, I don't like frequently higher levels. You have what's called the say one thing, do another gap. And so I can't tell these Marines that this is the most important thing I'm asking them to do this week without myself investing the time to show, leading by example, that it is the most important time. So I told my staff, you know, this week is off. I went in early, did some work, went back later, did some work. So I tried to maintain some semblance of connectivity, but, you know, like yesterday, I think I had 150 emails waiting for me that I had to work through. But and you have time to do that. So that's the principal reason, number one, is I wanted them to know how important I thought this was by the fact that I was there. I introduced the session, introduced you, and then talked a little bit about my own experiences. And then but I stayed for the entire time. If I'm asking them to stay, I'm staying. So I know, you know, some of those things went 3 hours plus, and that's a long time for Marines to sit in one place. And, you know, the venue wasn't, it was a great venue, but it wasn't the greatest. It was hot some days, it was cold on others. So you got to be there with them. That's why I did that.
Okay. In introducing it, explain to me the point you wanted to make to everybody in terms of why they were there, and I want people to hear what you told Marines in terms of why are you there, why is this important, and what was your intent relative to this?
Well, the intent was that, you know, they knew that, you know, part of the class is, you know, trauma, adversity, struggle is a natural part of life. We shouldn't shy away from it. We can actually grow from it. And what we don't need to do is let it, you know, kick our butt. So, I had to, you know, I always say, hey, we always say, follow me. This is the follow me division. Leaders lead from the front. So I felt it important to tell, you know, my story of overcoming or dealing with, you know, what in one sense may be called post-traumatic stress as a result of numerous combat tours, and my struggle with, you know, the losses that have incurred in units under my command, the promises I made families that I felt we didn't keep, you know, because we're still there, you know, 15, 17 years later. And so that there's residual scar tissue on, like I said, my heart and my soul for that. When I hear certain songs or I see a news story, it drudges all that stuff up. I get the emotions, whether I tense up, whether my jaw clenches, whether I, I get an allergic reaction, like you say. But you got to deal with it. Like you said, it's never going to go away. It'll be with me the whole time I'm alive. And they need, that was part of the, you know, if you, you want to, you know, learning objectives is, look, this, you know, the people that tell you get over it, you know, time heals all wounds, it's all bullshit. So this will be with you. Okay, now what? And then the other part of it is, as the week went on, you know, you told stories about your family so that you had the bifocal view of adversity, trauma, stress, et cetera. And so then I added the story about my daughter. And then I thought it was important to share that.
Why? Because one of the things I loved about this week is that, and Dave is one of them, right? I have great friends. And people got a chance to meet Mike Musselman. But these guys, I mean, they would die for you. If you picked up the phone and screamed help, they'll die for you. And not only would they do that, right? They're smart. They're intellectually inquisitive, right? They love leading. They, in particular, love leading Marines and being around Marines. And we historically, starting in 1990, when I first met Dave, I'm a captain, he's a first lieutenant, and we're trying to figure out what is maneuver warfare. And there's a meritocracy in all organizations, I think, and you perform your way into certain circles. And when I met him, he was funny, right? He was smart, and he was inquisitive, and so, you know, we hit it off. And then, and we've always been like this. And there's this wonderful ensemble thing that you do together with those kind of people where they do something and you consider it and you think hard about it, right? Because that's just the way my friends are, this group is. And it is very much, I'm not being too over my skis. You know, when you talk to General Zinni and you say, do you know this guy? Do you know that guy? And it's like, yes, 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 yes. We're all friends. It's the same kind of a group that you perform your way into. On multiple occasions last week, you know, I said I couldn't have been prouder of whether it be Mike Musselman or Dave Furness or Josh because of the way they responded as this thing morphed throughout the week. And so the story about your daughter was not initially included, but as I know, as he watched the presentation, and then when he stood up and did it, I knew that he'd never said that in front of a group of Marines in his life. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? Again, what I love about my friends, they get it. If I'm going to ask this, I got to be the example. I got to be the first guy to do it. And sitting there watching it was awesome. There's a lot of stories that you could choose about life-changing experience. Why did you choose the one about Elizabeth?
Well, you know, there's nothing more special than your children and nothing that means more to you than your family. And that was a significant impact in both my wife and in my life. You know, it has the potential, if you don't handle it appropriately, to it can destroy you or it can make you stronger, better. And I think that it's been the latter. I mean, my wife principally as the lead champion and lead sled dog in this process. And for me, just watching her and helping her along the way and watching Elizabeth thrive into the beautiful, young, talented woman she is today. But that struggle wasn't easy. It wasn't a straight line, like you say. And they need to know that because, you know, everybody, like when Josh said the military service, you know, all volunteer force has 3 to 5 times more adverse child events in their upbringing than the average population. Probably one of the things they want to structure in their life is why they gravitate to the military. So this group here right now, today, 2019, it's doing things to themselves, destructive behavior, be it, you know, sexual assault, spousal battery, DUIs, drug abuse, suicide. And it's probably, it's not a result of combat because most of them have not seen that. So when you start giving them classes about PTSD and they think, well, I'm in the combat, so I don't have PTSD. Well, look, you can have a traumatic event that you haven't dealt with, and that's post-trauma, and yes, you do have PTSD. So, and I wanted to make sure they understood that these experiences happen to everyone. You know, part of, you know, one of your roles as a leader in combat, we talk about quite frequently, is the role of absolution to the men under your command who do the killing. You know, that you have to make sure that, you know, what they want is your moral authority as the big umbrella that protects them because they're doing an inherently unnatural act, you know. And so, and it's going against everything that they've probably been raised to do, and it's quite traumatic in and of itself. And so you provide the moral authority that provides them absolution. This is okay. I'm asking you to do this. Your nation is asking you to do this. This is sanctioned. Do not feel bad about it, even though they probably, in the recesses of their mind, harbor misgivings, doubts, adverse feelings about it. So my point is they needed to see both sides of that because there are, you know, some of our senior staff NCOs have seen it, dealt with combat. The junior Marines, not so much. They need to see the other part, and that's why I included both as the week went on.
Explain on Thursday at noon, you sent me a picture, you sent me two pictures, and I looked at them, right. I'm like, ooh, like, okay, what are these? I've seen these before. And I texted back, hey, these are good looking human beings or something like that. And,
right.
and then you came walking in, and said, hey, could you turn those into a slide? Oh, why?
Well, I want to put a face with this. I think, you know, when you're, and you know this, as part of like learning pedagogy, is that you want to touch all, you want to touch the auditory, the visual, the experience part of this. And so in a lecture, you want to try to make it as real, vivid, and kind of really emotional, powerful as you can. Well, I wanted to put a face. It's one thing to say a name. It's another thing to say a name here. Here's a picture of her, you know, as a child and then as a, you know, senior in high school so that, you know, it becomes more real to the people that you're trying to influence. So that's why I did it.
It is powerful. And it was. But once you get, and again, the art of this is reaching in their chest cavity, taking their heart in your hands and squeezing it and then letting it go and then using humor to navigate this experience that you want to be indelible on them, and as Dave said, those images are important.
Well, I think as the week went on, we included
more.
You know, you included images of images of Peggy were always there, but images of Maureen, okay. And then Josh put images, and then Gunnar put the picture of his family up. And
I made him. I said, hey, you've got to put the picture of family, and he said no. I said, what's up, sissy boy? I said, General Furness did it. Actually, I said Dave. I said Dave did it, and he rolls his eyes. He goes, oh.
Right.
Come on.
Because
huh?
The other thing, too, is I wanted to understand is, hey, look, I get it that it's not easy to talk about any of this stuff. It's not something that comes natural. In fact, men don't like to do it at all. And so, therefore, the fact that, hey, I'm the leader of this tribe called the 2nd Marine Division, and we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to lead, and I'm going to talk about it. Even though I don't like talking about it.
Trust me. And so I can't remember which day it was. Maybe Thursday morning, maybe Wednesday morning. But Dave gets up and does his thing, you know, and it just grabs you. It's like a claw going to your chest, right? The picture of Dave's family and then he and his wife, Linda and Elizabeth, go up. And he looks and he starts to talk and his voice cracks, right? So that happens in the introduction. For whatever reason... Well, I'll tell you what, it was January 10th, because it was the first time I've ever talked about the death of my sister Maureen, who froze to death, died of exposure in Indianapolis. It was her birthday. And so I get up, and I see that picture, and I fight it, too. Right? And then Josh, the same day, Josh's best friend, 17-year-old son, a year ago, committed suicide. And he, when he got up to talk, and I thought, you know, these Marines must be sitting there going, who are these clowns, man? Get it together, boy. Get it together, boy.
Blubbering fools off the stage.
Exactly. Right. But I think, you made the point, man. It's not easy to go there, but we all have it inside of us. And we need to go there. The I think a lot of people, the presentation itself, I know you had something in your head about kind of what it was going to be, and I'd sent you some of the stuff, but seeing it, and us all doing it together for the first time, did any part of it surprise you? Were you happy? Did it exceed your expectations? What were your thoughts when you... You know, as we first rolled through it and you watched it.
Well, I mean, you know, you had shared the slides, but really mostly the context. I'd never seen the full presentation, but again, when I was trying to get, you know, approval to be able to do this, you know, one of the complicating factors in the whole process is the fact you and I are friends, and so, but I said that's why I am comfortable kind of with the unknown. Bottom line up front, it exceeded my expectations. I knew it would be good. You know, just like when you develop the decision class from whole cloth at IOC, and then that morphed. I knew, one, it was going to be great out of the gate. It was going to get better as we went through it. And I think it did get better, you know, throughout the week. You know, and with the exception of the audiovisual hell day that we went through, nothing worked.
Wednesday.
In the morning session. But yeah. The fact is,
see, you can tell we're scarred by it, right? We still remember the time, the date, and what happened.
Yeah, I mean, well, you want it to be, you know, and I was hoping for great, and I got better than great, and so the impact, I think, or the fallout or the response has been quite frankly overwhelming, and from everybody, from, you know, the senior Lance Corporals, which are a tough cohort, baby, and all the way up through colonels and sergeant majors. So I think you know, like we said, well, you're not going to reach everybody. You know, you looked out in the audience, and you could see the Lance Corporal FU look in some folks' face, but not too many.
As we talk, though, that's okay. They're not going to forget some of that stuff. And at some point in their life, right? And that's the point. You can give me the fuck you look. I don't care, right? Because I know it. I've seen it. I've had it given to me before. But this I know. This is going to leave, it's the truth. So it lands with a thud, and it doesn't need the salesman. At some point when they find themselves at a crossroad, you know, you and I both know, they'll go looking for it.
Right.
Hopefully they'll go looking for
it. Well, the fact that already, I mean, you weren't even on your first connector flight to Charlotte going back when, you know, a duty NCO with a Marine brought by a corporal pulls up the two goals, eight commandments from the phone because he remembered, hey, wait a minute, I just had a class like this, and talks a Marine through it, and that Marine is better today than he was 2 days ago. So, now, is he perfect? No, we're all not perfect. That's the other thing I wanted to, it never goes away. It's always going to be a struggle. You'll have good days and bad. And you know, the big thing, when I end up, you know, when I finish the thing is, say, look, what do you, you know, when I say these are the things I want you to take away from it, is the last thing is, I don't want you to quit. We don't quit. We don't quit personally. We don't allow other people to quit ever on anything. And so this is truly, you know, I can link this all to war fighting, and I tried to do that by saying, hey, we all got to work on our mental fitness. We neglect it at our own risk and the risk of our units. And this next big fight coming against a peer competitor is going to be difficult. It'll be the most difficult thing the Marine Corps has done in 70 years. And we got to be ready for it. And part of that is getting your mind ready to see the things you're going to see, to be, to know that, okay, I've just been traumatized. I'm not going to get over this, but this will be fine. My tribe will help me heal, and I'll help them heal, and we're going to move forward and make something good out of this. That, they got to internalize that. And I think to some extent, that's starting to be done. And then the next step is, okay, what now, Waldo? And, we're gonna do some of the things in the path that we've shown them, make those things, hey, we're going to do this, not, you know, it's up to you to, if you want to do them or not, and to try to get to the part of reinforcing these things on a monthly basis so that we build resiliency, we build hardness in the force, and we become better Marines, better Marine leaders because of it.
Will you tell the Michael Jordan thing that you used?
Well, right. You know, you call the class post-traumatic winning. So one of the things I wanted to do is I Googled, you know, some posts on winning because, you know, I wanted to use something more current than Vince Lombardi because, you know, 90% of that always doesn't even know who, unless you're a Packer fan, you probably don't know who Vince Lombardi is. So, you know, our generation, your dads raised us at the, you know, they were all disciples of the Lombardi School of Child Rearing. And so I wanted to use a quote about winning from a more recent person that somebody would know. So I saw this quote from Michael Jordan, and it basically, and I'm messing it up. I don't remember it word for word, but it goes like this. It says, you know, over my career, I've missed 9,000 shots 26 times. My team put the ball in my hand to win the game, and I failed. I'm not successful because I've never failed. I'm successful because I never quit trying. And so it's particularly for this generation, the message of, look, baby, if you want to be successful, you're going to mess some stuff up. You will fail. You will fall down. You have got to have the guts to get back up, dust yourself off, try again, be self-critical, and internalize why you failed. Try not to make those mistakes again or learn from them, improve yourself. Push that envelope farther, fail again, and repeat the process. I think that's a new message for a lot of these young folks. You would think that the attaining the title Marine, having the Eagle Globe and Anchor, earning the Eagle Globe and Anchor, would have proven that to them. But I think while they may have, you know, they did that, obviously they're all Marines now, but I don't know that they've internalized that process or really understand what we were trying to put them through, because we don't take time to explain it to them while we're doing it, you know. And so I thought it was important to say, look, in our profession, winning is the only thing. Second place is a bad place to be. And so we have to inculcate winning habits in the force, because winning is a learned activity just like losing. And I think a lot of this destructive behavior is Marines quitting on themselves, allowing other Marines to quit because they're not adhering to our core values. They're not adhering to, you know, policies that we've spent a lot of time educating them on about how we wanted to act. And that is a quitting activity, and I'm trying to get that out of the force. So I want them to understand, hey, there's winning, and part of winning is failing and recovering. And I don't think it's ever been presented this way, because a lot of this generation is like, we think helping them is preventing them from experiencing those things, and I actually think it's crippled them more than helped them.
You know what, and I think a lot of organizations are dealing with that, right? When you insulate them from adversity as young people, and they don't develop one of life's premier skills, which is overcoming adversity, then they get to it as young adults, and now they're in an organization like the Marine Corps, where their life has revolved around their feelings, and now they come to this and like, we don't care about your feelings. Did we issue you feelings? No, we didn't. Like, so we don't care. And we talked about that. Will you give your first suicide brief that you ever heard in the Marine Corps?
Right. You know, Master Sergeant Zayas, you know, the suicide is stupid, don't do it, any questions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we grew up, it was a sin. I'm Catholic, it's a sin. I mean, I can't do it. And we didn't do it. We didn't have any suicide classes, and we didn't do it. I mean, we were from a different culture. And I think one of the cool things about this brief and this presentation and just as you begin to look at it, our culture has changed tremendously. And going forward, this stuff's only going to get worse because you're bringing people from a culture that has gotten softer into an organization that needs to be hard, and 13 weeks is not going to do it. And then another MOS right. school is not going to do it. So this is something, you know, and a lot of people poo-poo when the Marine Corps is modified. A lot of units, and I know you have in the 2nd Marine Division, have modified the way they receive Marines. They keep them in a company. Right. They go do combat lifesaver skills and some other stuff to get them kind of on the ground moving, hand-selected NCOs to get them there, to get them to feel comfortable with good leaders. And then after they're around for a month and do these things, you know, they go out and they join units. And you know, people are like, oh, like, what's up with that? That's ridiculous. Well, no, it's not. If you want them to be successful, you have to set them up to be successful. And
right.
saying, well, that's not the way we used to do it. Well, we used to be a different culture. Well, you know, when we played football when we were kids and in practice, we didn't run plays well. We didn't drink water. And we got told, water discipline.
What? Water discipline.
And when we said, okay, run it, do it again and run it right. Screw it up. Okay, no water. We're teaching you water discipline.
Right. We also got to taught, you know, hey, you stick that helmet in there and pop that guy, right?
Right.
Well, we found out that doesn't lead to anything good. We stopped doing that too. Right. So, I think part of this is the combined, I call it the combined arms approach to life, but this is one aspect, this is a tool in it. Okay, I think what we're trying to do in the division about how we receive Marines through, by sustaining the transformation that begins in recruit training is a tool in the toolbox. I believe better training is part of it. I bet better leadership at the deck plate level, which is why I'm excited about this, the Josh's triangle and using that through monthly counseling sessions will improve leadership. And so I don't think it's going to be one thing. I think it'll be several things that, again, change the culture, make it more generationally acceptable and applicable to eliminate the understanding that this, because right now this is an option for them.
Sure.
And so we want to eliminate it as an option sure. for them by a number of things that we do. And so I just think, and this is a huge part of it. And, you know, the way we explained it, we didn't start the week explaining it as self-aid, buddy-aid, corpsman-aid, doctor, but I think that's the appropriate way. Like, why would we do mental health any differently than, you know, getting shot in the leg? You know, there's a way in which we address injuries. These are injuries of another sort, and this we need to address them similarly. And I think that helped them understand what we were asking them to do.
I want to talk about the presentation to spouses, but I want to make I want to make one point, and I just forgot it. I'll hopefully remember it. Let's talk about it was a really good point. It was. I just almost was on the verge of remembering it. It was I drew a simile. Oh, between you know, you'll tell people like, okay, life when it's normal, and they draw a straight line, right?
Wow.
And I drew a parallel between issuing orders and saying the following, all right, go attack and destroy the enemy at grid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right, so what am I going to do? I'm going to that grid. I'm going to destroy him. But if I say, which corresponds more to real life, go attack and destroy the enemy in the vicinity of grid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whoa, okay. Well, that's a different mission. I know he's around there. I got to go there, probably develop his disposition, and then destroy him. That's different. The vicinity word in there changes the whole mindset of the person receiving it. And I kind of drew a parallel between that and the flat line. When you say, okay, this is life normally, right? You draw a flat line. No, it's not. Life normally is, I don't know, let me tell you, my life isn't like that. Life normally is this. So what we're trying to get you to understand is trauma and these things, everybody in this room has them. And it was real interesting. I want to say on Wednesday, as we would talk about things, you would see people nodding their heads. And you would know that somebody said something and they had a face flash in their head. My cousin, right? My roommate here at Camp Luzerne. My brother, my nephew, somebody, a friend of mine, that is either doing this behavior and maybe they could help them. And so you saw these head moves as they began to understand, well, if that's normal, then, you know, adversity is normal and trauma is inevitable in my life, just like everybody in here, because we all understand this. And so that was, you know, the maturation part, and like I said, the creative ensemble part, as you listen to other people talk and it affects what you say, I think did nothing but help them understand that this is normal and there is nothing wrong with you, which I think is a huge piece. Talk to me about spouses. We did two events for spouses, and I forwarded you a couple of emails, but your wife had some pretty, I won't say cool, but Linda had some pretty definite feelings about it. And again, the thing I love about this is that it's more life, it's more talking about life than it is about the military. It applies in spades. And another thing I absolutely, positively love is that it comes out of our culture, our tribal culture. All this stuff comes out of, every single lesson comes out of our tribal culture and the people that are related to us. But it applies just as much to our spouse as it does to us and their lives as well. So I'm curious, you got to see it kind of from Linda's eyes. Give us some of her thoughts. And your thoughts about doing it with this in front of spouses.
Well, first of all, she's sitting right here listening to this, so I mean, she made sure bit. The doing it to the spouses or for the spouses was your idea. It didn't immediately pop into my mind, because I'm kind of laser head in the hut focused on this Marine problem. But, I have got to the point where I am with this because of the love and patience and prodding of my wife. And so, I think it makes sense to give it to spouses. I think it was warmly received by the spouses, first of all, because I think women tend to talk about these things much more freely than men do, as a gender. They're more in touch with maybe their emotions. We are taught not to be emotional, to suppress it. They're not taught that. They're much more likely to talk about it with their sub-tribe, whatever that is, their five closest friends. They, to a person, were blown away by it. And they loved it. And I've received two spousal, testimonials. Linda has as well. So I just think my only regret in that is that I didn't do a better job of advertising it so we'd get more people there. And that was my fault. I mean, so...
I was going to point that out if you didn't, but we can, because that's what friends are for, right?
Right.
That's right. It'll be candid with you. But I'll come back in April and we can do it again. But the two emails I got were two phrases I'll use out of it. One, I've never left a PME with mascara running down my face.
Right.
The other word that she said, honestly, I'm reading this. I'd seen it and I kind of read it first, but doing this three times a day and then trying to do 2 hours of the radio show and then get something to eat, those are long days, and getting to bed after midnight, right? It was a lot. It was a busy week, but
right.
It was like floating doing it though, that because of the response of the Marines and the spouses. But the word she used, so I'm on the flight from Charlotte to Phoenix, and I'm starting to go through email, and I have tears. My allergies are acting up. Did I say tears? I mean allergies. My allergies are acting up, and she says, "I did not expect to go to a life changing event." And I was like,
right.
Holy shit. Because 3 years ago, when I was, that's what I was trying to do. Come on, life-changing events, come on, that's really hard to do. You know, probably not going to get there, but we're going to try, and blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden you're seeing happen in front of your eyes, and this, the deaths of my nephews, right? The things that we
right.
saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the painful lessons that we've learned, and how we've had to try to grow. Now those things are beginning to have meaning, as Viktor Frankl said. Your suffering's beginning to have meaning, and it's the experience is incredible. But those words use life changing. It was honestly incredible, incredible.
Yeah, and you know, I tell young Marines, when I talk about leadership. And what it means to be a leader in the division, I say, look, the true goal, it should be your goal. If you're doing it right and you give 100% of what you have and you focus on your Marines, you will, you know, deliberately or inadvertently touch people's souls and change them, as human beings for the rest of their lives. And the good part, I said, the good stuff of being a leader, it's not, you know, as cool as changing commands are and moving up the ladder and getting from other good things about being a leader is when you get a letter from someone you've led who says, hey, sir, just to let you know, I'm graduating today from UC Berkeley. That wouldn't have happened if you hadn't invested time and effort into me and made me the man I am today. You get a lot of those the longer you're in, and people tell you that, and a lot of times you don't even remember, like, what did I do? You know, because I can't even get my own kids to UC Berkeley. So, I mean, how did I do that? Can you tell me? I mean, so I tell them, you got to be careful because you never know what you're going to say or do that's going to touch someone's soul, change them for the better. And that's the cool part. That's why you stay in. And so I think what we did this week, if you had to put a label on it, we touched a lot of people's souls. And that was beautiful.
Talk to me about the reason Josh was a part of this was I can have lessons learned relative to learning how to live with trauma. Mike can tell everybody how to apply to them. But the thing that I got out of the book that he wrote with Ken Fall called Struggle Well was a framework to evaluate your life, and then from that evaluation, their goal setting, and then, you know, on a regular, let's just say monthly but basis, there's reconciliation. So there's a path that we can use in a triangle, and it's part of this podcast. So all you have to do is click on the link and go to the website, and you'll see it. The triangle at the top is your mental health. On the left corner, it's physical health, and on the right corner, it's financial health, and in the middle, it's your spiritual health, and not meaning religious, but your spiritual well-being, and you assign numbers to that, and you alluded to a few minutes ago. Using that, how do you think that contributes to the sustainment of this?
Well, I think, number one, you know, there's the Marine Corps order out that says every Lance Corporal and below has to be counseling once a month, every 30 days. It's the most abused order maybe the second most. Probably the biggest order is the underage drinking order, but it's up there. That's things that we don't do very well. And what you see, at least what I saw, because it's a question I asked as I went around the division, I pull Lance Corporals and I say, when's the last time you've been counseled? When you get the, what are you talking about? Well, okay, that's not good. And units that you see are like really good, you know, do that and they say, sir, every 30 days. You know, I've been counseled. I've been here, you know, 8 months. I've probably been counseled 12 times. Okay. It's an absolute imperative, something we don't do very well at. So if it's one of these things, know yourself and seek self-improvement, it's a huge area of like self and unit improvement. And so I think the triangle is, and I think a lot of times, even for all of the resources and guides that we have, that are actually pretty good resources if you bother to read them, which most people don't. It's like, well, what do I talk about with, you know, 18-year-old Lance Corporal Furness? And this gives you a methodology, things to work on. And then you can add the Marine piece to this, but also the human being piece to it. And then you really got to play, it really provides a pathway for growth in both domains that I think will improve not only individual, but small unit as well.
You know, again, if you can improve the person,
right,
you just improve the Marine. You just,
well, right,
right. I mean, it's
good.
Yeah.
Marines come from good people. Right. Good people, good Marines make up good units. This is not rocket science. You know, I'm not trying to crack the atom here. This is imminently attainable. And so, like I said, I have come to see this as, you know, the spiritual part of, you know, becoming more true to our core values and, you know, the bumper sticker, never leave a Marine behind, the how we sustain a transformation, how we become better leaders and servants to our Marines, and then how we conduct better training. If I can improve those four areas, home lines of effort, if you will, this is going to be a really good place to come to work. People are going to enjoy being here. And when that is the culture and environment that you create, it's the one I hope to create, you're going to have a pretty hard to beat organization.
So how do you do that? Do you suggest that they use it? I know I was talking to the CEO of 2-8, and
I've thought about this for like, you know, overnight, and it, you know, it, the word's going to, so let it be written, so let it be done tomorrow morning. It's going to go out. This will happen. So I will grab, I don't know where we're going to put the order, or if I have to draft a new one, or I just have to put out a policy letter or whatever, but we're going to change that starting tomorrow.
What about, I want to talk about feedback. I think we've all got it from different people. Would you tell everybody about, I don't know, I think I landed in Orange County or maybe before that. It might have been Phoenix, but I see this text message from General Furness, and he says, I'm at the gym, and I won't spoil the fun, but tell us about your experience working out yesterday.
Well, first of all, you know, for those listeners who may not be, you know, familiar with, because I'm sure you got a lot of listeners that aren't Marines, but nobody comes up to the CG. I mean, I'm not the person like you want to hang out with around Jacksonville, North Carolina. So I'm at the gym, and most people don't, I mean, very few people will even say, you know, they just act like they don't know who I am, even though my picture's up everywhere. They let me do my thing, and I come out. Well, and it started because I was at the gym every morning during the week, and you'd see people, hey, sir, how you doing? You know, so first of all, the thing that I noticed is, shit, everybody's saying hi to me. What the hell? And, you know, I'm not better looking or whatever. So, and I'm like thinking, well, I've talked to them recently because we, you know, we touched about between 8,000 and 9,000 folks in 5 days. But on Saturday morning, I'm there, and I'm doing my thing, and, you know, I'm on the treadmill, and people, you know, I had two Marines come up and say, "Hey, sir, thanks for this week. You know, that was the best thing that I've ever, that best PME I've ever been to in my life." I'm like, I thanked them, and then I said, "Hey, now we just got to operationalize it." And they nodded. They're like, "Yes, sir, that's what we're trying to do. We talked about it in the barracks, yada, yada, yada." You know, and so that experience was repeated. You know, I'm walking out, people are stopping me. Another guy who's on a Stairmaster says, "Hey, sir, weighed me down." You know, I'm sharing a leg press machine when I can't work in with you. Of course, that guy's like, you know, we're talking about, I asked him a question about it. He goes, "Oh, yeah, it's great." And he goes, "Are you in 2-2? And I go, "No, I'm a CG." And he's like, "Oh, shit." You know, like, you know. So I think it's been good, you know, because, like you said,
has that ever happened to you relative to a PME?
No. Never. And I'm given more than my fair share of PMEs. And that was truly, you know, now we gave the PME about decision making. We've had a lot of good things about that too. But this was profoundly different. Like I said, I say this week, I don't know how many souls we touched, but we touched some souls. Now, if they can in turn touch souls who touch souls, then you'll have some.
It was, I told the story, I think we told it last week, but Lance Corporal come up, I'm 61, Mike's in his 50s, Josh is 40, so we're sitting there eating dinner. Lance Corporal, got to be 21 years old maybe, walks up, "Good evening, gentlemen." "What's up?" "I was at your class today and told essentially the story that they just told. We went back to the barracks and we talked about it as a section. And one of the guys that, you know, his struggling wasn't there, so we're going to sit down with him tomorrow." And you're sitting there going, okay, I don't know if that can be sustained, but if that kid was sitting there, and he's a good kid, and he wants to help other people, and what he's hearing is, help other people. And here are some tools to help other people. And we're going to tell you, all your instincts relative to helping people are absolutely positively right. You just armed him and made him something and encouraged it from way deep in our culture. And then we just started, and again, started to see the manifestations of it. We had, I mean, hell, the audio visual guy, he came over and said, "Hey, sir, you need to talk to this kid and this Marine and Lance Corporal." And he's had a whole bunch of suicide in his family. And he was asking, he said to me, "Sir, I can't watch this because these things make me angry." And and he was in tears. And so we went into the little cafe they had and sat down and talked to him. And Mike and Josh came in. And so we were just sitting around talking. And then General Furness walks in, and the four of us sitting there, and he looked at me at one point, and he said, "Does the pain ever go away?" I said, "No, it doesn't." I said, "And that's why you need to sit here." And then I think you told him to sit in the back by the door, come in and out as you want, but you really do need to sit through this class. And that kid's on a way, hopefully, to a better place. And so in the very short term, you started having these experiences with people doing the right thing. And it was intoxicating, absolutely positively intoxicating. And your thoughts on that, as you kind of bounced off other leaders and seen some of that, how do you sustain it? What has been your foremost thought after a little taste of it last week and this weekend?
Well, I mean, I think we absolutely have to do our best to sustain it. And I think small unit lead, the key is as part of their leadership discussions, which they should be having at the small unit level frequently, this needs to be up there. They need to add, they need to read some of these books. They need to discuss them, they need, as well as books we tell them to read about war fighting. Because leadership, you know, well-led units are better war fighters. And part of leadership is, you know, knowing who your men are and women so that you know, like, no kidding who they are, so you can push the buttons you need to push to push them to grow, to be better people, better Marines, and to produce better results to win on the battlefield. So I think this is all part of warfighting. It's just something that we don't think about. It doesn't naturally pop up. There's not a class about it at, you know, boot camp and the basic course, which maybe there should be. I think we have to do our best. And so part of it is I'll mandate some things to be done to help tribes to sustain this. But then really what I'll do, which is kind of more my style, is to talk to battalion commanders and regimental commanders, say, look, I'm looking for your innovation to come up with ways at your level to sustain these things. So surprise me, impress me with your thought. But you've got, this has got to be part of everything we do.
All right. Final question. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you about this subject, about what went on last week that you want to make sure people understand from the Marines listening to from the 2nd Marine Division, Marines listening around the world that will listen to this, and people that are civilians or dependents, what haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you want to make sure they know?
Well, I think we touched on it, but I really think one of the things I stressed to the Marines, number one takeaway, is leaders have got to share their story to empower others to share theirs. And when I talk about leaders, I'm talking about corporal sergeants all the way up in the enlisted setting to the sergeant major, and then lieutenants all the way up to myself. And I said, that's why I was doing it. That's why the gunner did it. That's why you did it. That's why Josh did it. And so, it frees up people to share, and when they share, they empower others, and when everyone's empowered, then, you know, there's nothing hidden, and we know who's who, we know what they're dealing with, we can help them out through those difficult times, we'll know by their body language, facial expressions, demeanor, when they're having a hard time, when they're not, and we'll be better units and be able to lead better units because of it. So I think it's important for especially the more senior folks that they get out there and talk about it. And I like when Gunner tells his story, you know, blows us away because we were both with him, had no idea. Yeah. And so the fact of the matter is, you know, I guess I didn't empower enough folks then to allow him to feel comfortable to tell his story, to ask for help. And I think we also, we made sure that everybody knew that, hey, asking for help, is totally appropriate. And sometimes, you know, Buddy A will be able to do the trick. And if it's not, we've got the programs. And then also, I think, the piece that you talked about with, you know, your personal, if you're getting help, and those folks, the requirement you have to be a part of that process and to articulate what you need to the people trying to help you.
One of the things I said, and it's interesting as you're going through this creative process of and seeing other people talk and taking in what they say, is I stood up, and I don't know how it came to me, and I said, we don't do mental health very well. In fact, we fake it. And something you just said, you know, made me think. If we would have stumbled into this years ago, and you as a CO of 1st Marine Regiment would have stood up and said the things that you said, I think Mike would have come clean. But everybody's head, right? Everybody's head was down. You know, we're doing what we think we're supposed to do, and he's doing what, you know, he thinks he's supposed to do. But I because there's no way when you listen to this, it doesn't stick to you. And again, it lands with a thud. It's the truth, and you know it. You know it. And so I think that's interesting. And then the other thing that that I said, and then General Finesse stole from me later in the week, was, and you know what, the best part is, you know you're going to get the microphone, so I like, he just stole that from me, man, that's not his. I said that yesterday, how could you do that? And they got to see us, have a good time with each other. The other funny thing is, General Finesse, used put to make what he said more powerful, he said, hey, put those pictures of my family in there. Well, Mike didn't have a picture of his family. He tells a story about it. So when I said, hey, come here, both you chuckleheads, come here. We need a picture of Stockdale. We need a picture of the Hanoi Hilton. And you need to put a picture of your family in there. And he said, I can't do that. I said, oh, what's up there, pumpkin? The CG can do it, but you can't? And he's like, ugh. I said, find one and put it in there. And he goes, and he looks at me and goes, all right. Then he shows me a text message that his wife sent him. And she said, I'm so happy you're there. I can hear the difference in your voice. And I haven't heard you this animated in 3 years. And it's wonderful to hear. I love you. So he shows me this text. So now Mike's doing his piece. And I'm sitting next to Dave over on the side. And he finishes, and the picture was up, and he did his thing. And so I stand up and yell at him. I don't have a microphone. I just yell, read the text. And he looks over, he goes, no. I said, either read it, or I'm coming up there, and I'll recite it. And so then he starts hemming and hawing and explaining. And I said, shut up and read it. And the Marines are all laughing, right? And he finally reads it. And then he says, this is how much I love being with you. This is how cool this experience is for us as we walk down this road with you. And so there was some funny stuff. But, and then the other thing I said, and I'd like you to comment on this as we head out the door. I stood up and said, the Marine Corps is not going to solve its suicide problem. You are. Right, armed with this stuff, armed with a better understanding of what life actually is, and this is going to darken all of our doorsteps, and if Elizabeth Smart can do it, if my sister can do it, right, you can do it. And, I was like, listen to myself, I'm like, whoa, Mac, that was good stuff. Well done. Give me your thoughts on that. I mean, and then you stole it from me.
Obviously, I liked it if I told them. So, I think that's true, and I think you need to put the power back in the hands of the individual Marine and the small unit leaders who touch more Marines than me or any other CG ever touch in a day. So, I think that's where we need to start. We've had programs like Oscar Extender where we teach guys to identify, at-risk behavior and certain symptoms so that they can sit down with folks. But basically it's designed to kind of intervene and get them into the pipeline, a treatment pipeline. So, this is different in that it's like, look, if your counselor isn't going to say this to you, I am. This is never going to go away. Now, like you said, what you have to do to make it better is you help other people. Your pack doesn't get any lighter, but your shoulders get stronger. There's an uplifting feeling when you do this, which was felt by Mike all week and all of us. And then your burden is easier to handle. And in fact, now it's actually looked at as a positive experience because it allows you to help others, which is the coolest thing in the world. I just think there was on so many levels, big wins this week. And, I couldn't be more happier with how things turned out. And we just now the ball's in, the leaders of the second division's court to build on this, to not only to sustain it, but to continue to get smarter and push this to a different level.
First of all, thanks for the time. I know you have a full slate, and I just as a friend, I enjoyed sitting next to you all week, and I'm glad you hung out because we got to hang out because we didn't get to have dinner on Friday, but we won't go there. But we won't go
right.
there. But no, it's just, you know, as I said, I have great friends, and Dave, as a Battle Buddy times three, I only have two of them. They were both there. But we have done a lot of stuff, intellectual stuff, in terms of warfighting and maneuver warfare. We've done a lot of stuff for it, but he and I were even talking. This was different. This was, and it was pure goodness, and from spouses and the response to people, and young Marines and old Marines. When you have a Sergeant Major who says, "This is the best PME I've ever seen in my life," they don't give, they don't say shit like that, okay? They just don't.
No, they're not built to give compliments to anybody.
Yeah, and so you're reading it going, somebody must have got on his computer or he's sending those. Like when you leave your computer open, somebody says, "Hey, I know you guys have probably suspected this for a long time, but I have an announcement to make." And then they make a lifestyle. They make some sort of lifestyle announcement, and it's somebody jacking with your computer. You read that stuff in a 7, 8, 9 paragraph email, and you're like, holy smokes. And but I will tell you this, though. It all gets laid at your feet because you're the one that drove it to make it happen, because there was a lot of people, again, based on our relationship, they said, "Hey, ethically, this is not a good thing." And you were adamant, saying, "No, this is I don't care about that. This is the right thing to do. I know the power of the stuff he's talking about." And so a tip of the hat to you, and I hope this is the first of a whole series of things, and I'm confident it will be, of a whole series of things that we do around the Marine Corps, and I hope we can do it again in a little bit different way next year to continue to challenge the Marines, not only of the 2nd Division, but of the entire Marine Corps, and anybody else who will care to listen to it, that not only you can start down this road, you can go down this road, and you can do great things. So all of that gets laid at your feet, and thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it, but thank you for developing it, to have the courage to start All Marine Radio out of Whole Cloth and take it where it's going today, or where it goes every day. And you help a lot of people all the time. And we'll be having you back. We'll be doing this at least as long as I'm here. You know, on a battle rhythm, you know, kind of pace count, so that we touch all the Marines of the division. I mean, we have 3 battalions right now deployed, and we had some others, you know, 6 Marines all out in the desert doing CACs. And so at some point, we're going to get all those guys back. They're going to do this by watching the video we're putting together, and they're going to talk about it, and then they're going to operationalize it with some of the things we'll do with the triangle and some of the other suggestions that Josh makes and struggle well, and we'll see how. You know, my thing is, I want to see, you know, what's the impact. And hopefully, I really believe there will be one. I believe it will be positive. And I think, you know, if, you know, the whole Marine Corps could get on this, I think we'd be better for it. So I'm certainly going to suggest that to people that I can talk to. And hopefully, they'll take my advice.
I started All Marine Radio because my therapist said, "You know what? I don't think you're going to handle working for somebody else very well, especially a civilian." So you.
I don't think you handled this very well when you were where you were a Marine.
So that's actually the secret. So I don't know if it was so much courageous. It's like I was Zach Mayo. I got nowhere else to go.
Right.
So I started my own thing. And you mean, you know, the commandant's got to watch it. He's in the son of a bitch. So he's got to hear what I have to say about him. So he'll watch it. So anyway. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mac. Take care.
All right, bud. See ya.
Out.
That is the commanding general of the 2nd Marine Division, David J. Furness. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like...
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at allmarineradio.com.